Am I on?
I'm switched on. Yeah. We are.
Can we just pray before we go into the Word? Much of what I want to cover this morning has already been shared with us. And it is a word of hope. It's a word of encouragement as we face the new year. So, Father, we want to thank you that you are with us. We want to thank you that you have promised never to forsake us or leave us. And, Lord, we ask that as we approach this coming year, we have our eyes firmly fixed upon you. Firmly fixed upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We ask this in his name. Amen. Amen. If you've got a Bible there, a real paper Bible, we're looking at the book of Jude. Jude is near the end of the New Testament. And if you have an electronic device, if you press the wrong one, you'll end up with John 1, 2, or 3. Anything but Jude. It's not an often read book, but we want to look at this morning because I believe it has an incredible message of encouragement for us as we reach into God for all that he has for us in this coming year. But of course, as we look into the new year, and as we perhaps have made New Year's resolutions, many of which are probably broken as it's already the 3rd of January, you know, there are some things you think, now, do I have faith for this? And sometimes you've got to come to the reality that you do not have any confidence or faith for the particular change to take place that you're thinking about. So, for instance, ladies, have you got any faith that men will be able to find the thing they're looking for? Or is that just our house? You know, will you go and get such and such? So you go, you open the cupboard doors, you're faced with all of this stuff, and you never find, it's never there. And then when you're not looking, what happens is your wife puts it there. And she says to you, it's right in front of you. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. Of course, she knows it is, because when you weren't looking, she's put it there. So you go there. And what happens is you open the door and it's, ah. Do you mean this, dear? Or words to that effect. Now, I've got no faith for men to find things in 2016. Equally, I've got no faith for women. I've got no faith for men to find things in 2016. I've got no faith for men to ask for directions when lost, because that's why God gave us a sat-nav, isn't it? So you can be sitting in this complete dead end, and the sat-nav says, you have reached your destination. You think, no, I haven't. You have reached your destination. Your wife's sitting there saying, why don't you ask somebody? Don't be silly. Why would anyone ask when lost? Sermon in itself there. I've got no faith for that. Women. I'm going to say this and then leave the building. You know, I have absolutely no faith at all for women ever to stack a dishwasher correctly. No, absolutely not. You look at the dishwasher and you think, who's done this? Has there been an explosion? Why are the big plates where the small plates ought to go? What's that doing there? I do. I do. Yes. I do. And I can stand here and say, in all honesty, it is my one job. But it is done to perfection. Done to perfection. I open that dishwasher door with great awe and wonder. Because having failed to find what's in the cupboard, I know what's in the dishwasher. So there are things to do with perhaps everyday life that we may not have much faith for. But as the people of God, as we look to God for the things that are of spiritual reality, we can come as the people of God and we can have a confidence that those who do not know God will never have. And what a way for us to approach 2016, knowing that the God who called the universe into being is the one who is with us, is the one who has said, I will never leave you. That is the confidence we can have. And I don't know about you, but as you look at the news, there is little ground for confidence as we look around and see what's happening in the world. The world's getting warmer, colder, the weather's getting drier, hotter, all drier, wetter, all the rest of it. What's going to happen? Is the economy going to be in a boom or bust or just limp along? I was thinking about Dubai, you know, the fire. Did you all see the fire that wasn't meant to be? Isn't it interesting that the Dubai authorities would probably invest millions into the firework display, and yet the world's attention is taken from that to a building nearby that's on fire? Who would have expected that? Their confidence would be called into question. And we face a year which has many, many uncertainties. And the scripture is always very clear about the church needing to be on guard against those who will come in and seek to bring discord and division in the church. 1 Peter 5 says, be alert and sober. Your enemy prowls like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. That is, he's looking for those people who will seek to be cause issues of division within the church. And he's going to use those people. We need to be aware of the strategies of the enemy. But just as the devil will seek to come against us, as the enemy will seek to bring discord, so as we look to God, we can look, and as we are in tune with him, we can have that confidence that we can get through to the end of 2016 having fulfilled the purposes and plans that God has ordained for us. And you know, there's no greater calling than that. No matter what your personal ambition is, we can see in God that we can achieve those things that he has laid out for us as we keep our eyes fixed on him. God has promised that he is with us. He is a good, good father. And his son has been given to us. Now as we look at the end of Jude, Jude's full of warnings. But it was the last few verses of Jude which really jumped out when they were read here just a few weeks before Christmas. And if you have a look at verse 24 of Jude, it says this, to him who is able to keep you from falling, and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. What an incredible piece of scripture. A few verses that hold just so much truth for us that ought to be a cause of confidence as we go into 2016. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to him be glory and honor. And what really struck me were those opening words, to him who is able. To him who is able. Because as the people of God, we have get to get it into our minds that we worship a God who is able. He is able to do that which he has spoken. He is able to fulfill his promises. He is able to take us through every situation, because we know that he is able to take us through every situation, because the promise here is that he is able to present us before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Now, if God is able to present you as faultless before the throne, he is able to do anything else. Because let's face it, are we faultless? I look across this room. You know, we are not faultless. We are very aware of our own shortcomings. We are very aware of our faults and our failings. We are very aware of that which is in our life, which does not glorify Jesus. And if we look in ourselves, all we see is something that isn't necessarily good. But as we look at this promise of God, he says, he is able, it's not of us, he is able to present you faultless in his presence. That is an incredible miracle, and a miracle that lasts for all eternity. It is the miracle of miracles. So when we speak about someone being born again, when we speak about someone coming into Jesus, coming to know Jesus, and having life of eternal, we're speaking about that wonderful day when that fulfillment of this word will come about, where God presents you. He presents me faultless before his throne. And it's all of him. We were exhorted early in this gathering to be people who are thankful. And when we recognize what God the Father has achieved through the Son, we will be thankful. Because we will recognize it is all of him. He is the one who is able to present us before his glorious presence without fault. Without fault. We are there. And God looks at us and he says, I love you, beloved son, beloved daughter, because he sees the righteousness of Jesus. And what's perhaps even more miraculous is not, you know, he's going to present us before his glorious presence, without fault, with great joy. With great joy. Now, I think that's a two-way thing. We will be joyful. We will be joyful. Honest. Honest. There will be an eternity of joy. Now, I know we don't get a lot of practice now, but there will be an eternity of joy. I can't imagine that we're going to be sitting there, you know, as God has presented us, faultless in Christ. There will be great joy on our part, but this also speaks of great joy on the part of the Father. The Father is joyful when he looks at his children. You know, we have evidence of that here this morning. As fathers take great delight in their children. You can see it on the faces of those who are nursing little ones, even now. And they're sitting there nursing them thinking, keep quiet, keep quiet. Ah, that's another matter altogether. But there is joy on the part of a father as they look at their children. I can tell you there's joy on the part of grandparents as well. Because you can send them home. It's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. But it says he's going to present us without fault and with great joy. This is the miracle of the gospel. This is the good news we have to proclaim in 2016 and every following year. Because God has done it all. We are those people who can come with tremendous confidence because the scripture says, my God is able. My God is able. If he can work that miracle of eternity, he can work a miracle in your circumstances day by day. My God is able. That's it. Right, we can go home now. If we do nothing more than remember those few words as we approach 2016, we will be in a good place. Because life throws things at you. You may not have chosen. Things will arise unexpectedly. But my God is able. My God is dependable. My God is faithful. And this faithful, able, trustworthy God has called us into partnership with him. You know, when we look at the ministry of Jesus, what we find is that this incredible partnership, this divine partnership is demonstrated in everything that Jesus does. See, Jesus didn't simply set off and conduct his own ministry on his own. He calls people into partnership with him. He gives those ordinary men and women his authority to fulfill his plans and purposes. So he's calling people into partnership and say, here's the authority. Here's the authority to do what I want you to do. So it's not being called into a sleeping partnership. We're not a silent partner, but you're called into a full partnership with Jesus in order to see his plans and purposes fulfilled and to call heaven down onto earth. We are agents of heaven, calling heaven down on earth so that heaven can touch earth. And when we pray for healing, what we're asking is that the health of heaven touches earth. There's no sickness in heaven. No sickness. There's no death. There's no mourning. There's no crying. And we call upon God. We say, come, let heaven touch earth. Bring healing into this situation. Bring wholeness into this situation. Bring freedom into this situation. This is what we pray when we say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, which is a prayer we probably don't pay a lot of attention to, because for many of us, it's connected with the tradition out of which we have come. And you know what a powerful prayer to pray? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let heaven touch earth. That is the commission of those called into partnership with Jesus, which we have been called. So there's an incredible adventure, partnership. But in any partnership, you know, we have our parts to play. And again, it's interesting to say, as Jesus calls the disciples, he commissions them, but they actually have to do something with that commission. They don't sit there and just discuss it. You know, Jesus didn't call the 12 and said, let's have a committee. Oh, glory to God. Let's have a committee. He calls the 12 and says, right, now I want you to go and do the stuff. And they, oh. Go do what Jesus did. That's the partnership into which we have been called. And each one of us needs to respond to that call of God each and every day. Because each and every day there will be something God saying to us in order to see that partnership become more real in our lives day by day. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing. You know, have you ever had that situation where you're in a situation and there's just this, suddenly this little voice says, you need to say such and such. You need to speak into the life of this person. You need to bring heaven down to earth. And how often we get it wrong. How often we've heard the voice and fear results, anxiety, and we think, I can't do that. And then what happens? 10 minutes later, when you're out of that situation, you go through the next stage. I wish I'd said it. Or is it only me? You know, you get to that point, you've been challenged by the Spirit, you've been provoked by the Spirit, you fluff it, and you get to that thing where you're just blaming it. Oh, dear me. The way to deal with this is not to look inwards, but to look outwards and to look up and say, well, God, I got it wrong that time, but I'm going to seek to be more aware and more courageous the next time. You know, we've been told this morning that we're not just to spend our times looking back, but to look forward and say, God, I want to be part of this adventure with you. I believe that as we look at 2016, I'm going to have to get that year right every time. As we look at 2016, where there is a scripture which I believe speaks directly into our situation, which is from Ephesians 4. Verses 2 and 4, this is as we are considering that God who is able, has called us into partnership, but that partnership requires that we act in accordance with Scripture. And Ephesians 4, 2 to 4 says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing one another in love, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. So this partnership requires that we look at the Word of God and we seek to live out that Word in our relationships. And the call is, be humble, be gentle, be patient. I'll say that one again. Be patient. Bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Making every effort. think there's one translation says, strive to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And, we're not used to this word strive, are we? We think we haven't got to strive for anything, but Scripture says, make every effort. Strive, because so much rests upon any community being at peace and united with itself. Any community, whether it be a church community or a political party or whatever, the moment that division enters, there is weakness at the heart of that community. You hear it when it comes up to elections. Divided parties do not win elections. Divided churches do not achieve all that God has got for them. So the Scripture says, strive, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. You know, maintaining unity is easy when things are going our way. I find this. I find no trouble at all at being united with anyone when they're agreeing with me. It's a burden I have to carry. When things are going well, unity is relatively easy. But when things start to go slightly in a direction I didn't expect, or things are not working out the way I wanted, or someone simply says, I don't agree with that, that's when unity is costly. That's when we have to work hard. That is when we have to strive to maintain that bond of peace and unity among us. And when we come to look at situations, when something changes, that can often bring a sense of insecurity, which can give rise to tension, which can give rise to discord, and so we could go on and on and on. Change is something God has called us to, but change is something we very often do not like. We like the familiar. We like to be in familiar circumstances, have a familiar situation. Do you know, the reality is, in here, all we have to do to prove that people do not like change is put the chairs out in a different layout. It's true. You know, we claim we're ready to embrace anything God has got for us. We will go on this great adventure, God. Where's my seat? Where's it gone? I would love to have been able to video what happened. I think we were in this building, so it's not too long ago. We put the seats out in a different layout. Can't remember why. Perhaps we're just being adventurous. Let's have an adventure with God. And let's put the seats out in a different way. Let's cause confusion and anxiety as people enter the building. And I would love to have had a camera up here focused on that door, because people came in. Oh. And there was that moment of anxiety and confusion. Yeah, there are red seats, but they're not where they were last week. And we claim to be open to change. Oh, for the Sunday when we don't have any seats at all. We won't have stewards that Sunday when we don't have any seats. We will have hoisters. Get you up again. As we gather here this morning, we have 20 or so people meeting down at Chesley Street, because they're looking towards planting out in Chesley Street come September. They want to be meeting every Sunday. Now that is a change, because it means those who were among us are not going to be among us anymore. And it's these basic issues which affect us most, because relationships within that will change, because we will not see people as we have seen them. They're simply not going to be here. They're going to be 8 miles up the road there, seeking to establish a new work. Something has to change. We in our hearts have to release them, and they in their heart need to know something of the pain of being released, because it's not going to be all easy for them. Going from meeting like this of 160, 170 people to meeting with 20 is a totally different situation. And not necessarily an easy one. But that's a change that's coming among us as a community. And it is a change we must embrace because God has spoken prophetically into this. But it's at this sort of, it's at this everyday level, you know, that we struggle the most. Most issues within churches are not to do with theology. They're just to do with relationships. Not theology. It's how we work together. That's the call of God to us. Another change. And I had to be careful how I phrased this. We are sending Chris and John to Japan. You see, I had to be very careful how I said that. You know, I could have stood up and said, you know, we're getting rid of Chris and John. Now, that gives you a completely different picture, doesn't it? But no, you know, Chris and John have an opportunity in their work situation to go to Japan. But it is absolutely vital that we as a community commission them and send them as part of us into that mission field, which will not be easy. And so John and Chris will not be with us from about the 20th of March. The 20th of March, I think, is their last Sunday where we really want to get behind them in prayer and send them as members of Emmanuel here in order to fulfill the call of God those thousands of miles away. Now, eventually, they're going to come back. But I think the first Sunday they come back, we lock the doors, hide. And then when they come, what's happened? There is an adventure. There is a partnership. But there are costs to be paid. As people leave, that's hard. But as people join, and we've heard we're going to receive over 30 people into membership. We've discussed this in eldership, and we just feel like what God is doing, he is already adding those people to replace those who are being sent out. That's the God who is able. Isn't that exciting? That the God who is able is overseeing all of this to bring about his plans and purposes. Now, I've mentioned there a few changes that we know about. And when we know about them, we can prepare ourselves for them. It's those ones that sneak up on you unexpectedly and unannounced, and suddenly it's there. There, I was going to say, we need to be ready for the unexpected. How can you be ready for the unexpected? How do we know what we don't know? Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. God is able. And God will take us through, united in him, as long as we keep our eyes fixed on him and rooted in his word. This partnership affects every area of our lives. Every area of our lives. Here, we sow into the kingdom of God generously as a community. So we have situations throughout the world that have been blessed by finances that we have sown into those situations as a community. And we want to continue doing that so that we can be a blessing to many in the world who do not have the resources that we have. That will continue. But as a community, we sow into the local church, that the local church might do all that it wants to do, but also bless others who are not part, and we may never ever meet them. But we want to be a blessing to the world. Back in November, which seems a long, long time ago now, doesn't it? November, we had our gift day. And in our gift day, you were generous in giving £17,000 for the work of God in this area and in the world. £17,000 coming in from the people of God whose hearts have been stirred in order to sow into the work of God. And what we said is we were going to give a good portion of that away. We're going to keep some of it for the ongoing costs here, but we're going to give a good portion of it away in order to bless those who do not have the resources we have. And as we as a community give generously, what we're doing is we're reflecting the heart of the God who is able. Because he has a generous heart. He has a generous heart. And we want to build on that as this year progresses. We need to have a heart that reflects the heart of God and draws the resources of heaven to us. You are an agent of the kingdom of heaven. As the God who is able sows resources into you, you are called to sow those resources into other situations, into the lives of others. As he blesses us, so then we are able to bless others. That's the partnership. That's the partnership. You know, what you find is in this partnership, the God who is able leaves us to do some things, and then when we get to that point where we think we have nothing more to do or give, God says, I'm going to make. The God who is able steps in. Have you ever had that situation? Have you ever got to the situation where you've actually got to the end of your physical, mental, emotional resources? You've got to the end, as the theologians say, the end of your theological tether. You've got to the end of your tether. There's nowhere else to go. And the God who is able steps in. That's our God. That's our God. And you'll think, that is wonderful. No matter how much God has acted on our behalf, his power and authority is never diminished. We've just come through Christmas. Now, how many people here have a poorer bank balance now than they had in November? I only know of two people whose resources are greater now than they were before Christmas. They're called my daughters. But when we give, we usually have a little less left. When the God who is able gives, he's got just as much as he had in the first place. So as he gives to me, he's got as much to give to you. As he gives to you, he's got as much to give to the person next to you. As he gives to us as a community of faith, he's got more than sufficient to bless his people throughout the world. Because our God is able. And in this coming year, I think there will be many situations where we need to come back and say to ourselves, when circumstances are difficult, we need to say to ourselves, our God is able. And I'm going to keep my eyes firmly fixed on him. I'd like the musicians, if they would come back, please. Can we stand together? Father, we want to thank you that you are the one who is able, and your heart is to act upon the behalf of your people. I want to thank you that you never call us without equipping us. And right now, Lord, we look to you and say, come. And in this partnership, in this adventure, let us always have our eyes fixed upon you, the able one, the all-sufficient one.